Well, it's sure great again to be with everybody. It's going to be a tremendous week of hearing the word, fellowshipping with one another. I really, really, really enjoy these camps. I'd like you to go to Romans 8. We kind of try to have themes for different advances or camps or whatever, and I thought More Than Conquerors would be a tremendous, tremendous theme for the week, because it encapsulates a lot of different things, so it gives people room to share different things in the Word and different aspects of how to be more than a conqueror. And it says in verse 37, it says, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." What a tremendous truth. When did this first start? For us, it started, and you can go to chapter 10, it started in verse 10, and that's what I want to share on today. I want to share on how salvation makes you more than a conqueror. You know, I can't remember the last time I heard somebody teach on getting born again. I'm sure you guys have, but I haven't heard a teaching on that in a long time. And I thought, what a great way to start a camp, because that's how it all started for us. It says that if, verse 9, it says that if thou will confess, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the miracle of all miracles. There's not one thing in the Word of God that could even come close to this incredible miracle. And that's what I want to share on. Ephesians chapter 2. And I wanted to be animated about it because it is the miracle of all miracles. And I think sometimes you know so much that you don't know anything. And salvation is something that sits on our doorstep. We know it by heart. We can quote it. We quote it. We quote it. We quote it. But yet the world and Christianity still focuses on the way to get saved is to believe that Jesus died for you. That's the main thing. If you go around to all Christians, hey, he died for you. He died for your sins, brother. He died for your sins. Well, he did. And I'm thankful that he did. And that's part of it. But it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. One time we had 50 people witness to 10 people each. That makes 500 people. And just ask them one question. Do you know how to get born again? Not one person in 500 knew how to get born again. So don't you assume that everybody out there knows how to get born again, or because they're a nice person and they act Christian and they talk that they say they believe the Bible, that they're even born again. We assume too much. And this is the miracle of all miracles. There's no miracle that is even close to this miracle. Chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, okay, dead is not a good state. That's not a good way to be. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, before we got born again, we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's horrible. We walked according to this world, according to the devil. That was our walk. That was our existence. That is how we acted. Whether you grew up rich or poor, whether you smoked pot or you didn't, whether you ate health foods and knew everybody in town, you were without God. You had nothing. And I had nothing. Because we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of rats. the children of wrath, even as others. So our lives were in the lust of our flesh. Lust is the over desire for anything. Oh, yeah, it could be anything. It's not just sex. It's not just rock and roll. I don't know. It's not just that. It's over desire for anything. The lusts of our flesh. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, and that's a big, big but. But God, who is rich in mercy, even to us folks in Jersey, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This all happened at the point of salvation. Seated in it. We went from being dead to not just alive. We're seated in the heavenlies. Act like it. And you can't act like something if you never think about it. Think about it. That's who you are. That in the ages to come, he might show or exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, believing. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship. We're created. We're his masterpiece, as it says in the Greek. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember this. Ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, before we were born again, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Outside of that, we were great. We were dead. In trespasses and sin. We had no hope. And we were completely without God in the world. That's how great it was for us before the Word of God. Before we got born again. I want to read a literal translation and an expanded translation of verse 2. Verse 2 in the King James says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. The literal says, among the adversary's children, we all were conditioned and behaved according to the passionate lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the strong desire of our flesh and of our mind. And we were children destined for wrath altogether as the rest. The expanded is, among the adversary's children also, we all were influenced and behaved corrupted like they did, fulfilling our lustful cravings of our flesh because of the five senses. And by natural birth, we were children destined for wrath, even as all others also. So that's a pretty deep one. It's just an incredible miracle that we got born again. We were saved from the wrath to come. We were without God, and now we're with God. We had no hope. Now we have hope. It's an incredible reality. It really is. Look at what God's word says that. Children of wrath, aliens, no hope, without God. What a change that happened instantly once we believed in Jesus Christ, and that God raised him from the dead, and that he's our Lord and Savior. So do not take it for granted that everybody in the world who says they're Christian are really Christian. They might go to a church and listen to the Bible every week and not be Christian. How do you know? Look, we don't know unless God would tell us. So maybe we ought to start when we witness about asking people if they're born again, not bored again, because they are. God is rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. And that's why it says, and you can write this down, John 3:16, y'all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? God so loved the world that hated him, the world that walked in the lust of their flesh, the world that had no hope, the world that had no God, the world that walked in the lust of their flesh, God loved. My God, sometimes you have a problem loving a believer. God loved every stinky poo-poo in the world. He so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. I have one son, I wouldn't give him for anybody. And we don't always get along. Jesus Christ always got along with his Father. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. You want to talk about love? He so loved that he gave. We're to be followers of God as his dear children, it says in Ephesians 5:1. Maybe we should so love that we give. It's a nice way to live. That he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We were completely undeserving of God's wonderful favor and love and mercy. And God gave us his love, his mercy, and his grace. And it cost him a perfect son who always did the will of him. Always. A man who was tempted in all ways, yet without sin, he gave for a bunch of corrupted mutts, us. A bunch of lustful, without God, without hope people. You think about that for a second. Blow your mind. Go to Colossians. It's a nice verse. Chapter 1. A lot blows my mind. How simple the word of God is, and yet how deep. Chapter 1, verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow! I want to read you the literal of that. Look at, in English it ain't bad. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Well, you know what? If he's delivered us from the power of darkness and we've been delivered and we ought to claim that victory. I know how the adversary can creep down our necks and he can spit at us and try to harm us and maim us and hurt us and remind us of our past. I know what he does because he does it to me. He does it to everybody. But we have to constantly remember that God has delivered us from this power of darkness. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who hath delivered us from this devilish power. The literal of this, these verses is, he has rescued us out from the exercised influence of the kingdom of darkness. Wow. He's rescued us. Greg Genovese wrote that song, I've been rescued from an island. What a lonely place to be, to live. He's rescued us out from among the exercised influence of the kingdom of darkness. And he separated us, bringing us as citizens into his kingdom by the work of his beloved Son. This is God's work. This is what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, who walked perfectly. He has allowed you and me to be born again, sons of God, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with God, with hope, with great power, with great love. This is salvation. This is what makes us more than conquerors through him that loved us. If God delivered us from the power of darkness, the adversary, then we're no longer under his power. Satan, the adversary, the devil, has absolutely no legal rights on God's property. Once a person's born again, they become God's property. You and I are the property of God Almighty, El Shaddai, and all the rest of them. Names of God. The reason is because we've been delivered by Jesus Christ. Satan has no rights. You ever see the signs? You go hunting and it says, no trespassing. No trespassing means you don't go on the land. Well, we ought to say no trespassing to the adversary because he has no right on God's property. We are the land of God. We are his kids. We are his sons. He has no right, no right, no right. And I know what you're saying or thinking. It's hard. Yeah, it is. But you know what? It's harder to let him on God's property, which is you. It's harder on you. It's harder on the people that you love. It's harder on the world. It's harder. It's just terrible. And we need each other. The family of God needs each other. And we need to stretch out to one another for help. Help, help. Sometimes we're not strong enough. Sometimes our mind gets weakened. So there's a myriad of things that happen in our lives. We need help. We have too much damn pride. I'll tell you that. Too much pride. Some of you guys never ask anybody to pray for you. Why not? Who the hell are you? Why don't you get prayed for? You know? You need to get prayed for. You get prayed for. It's a nice life. Want to go to another verse? Maybe. Think about the great reality that we, in this verse, that we've been forgiven of sins. If that was the only benefit of being born again, which it's not, what would that be worth? My, oh my, how sin consciousness ruins the walk of believers. You think about what you did to your Aunt Susie. You should have been to her funeral and you didn't go. And all your relatives are mad at you. Well, what can you do about it now? You can't go to Aunt Susie's funeral. First of all, she's buried and gone. It's over with. Forgiveness of sins. Holy smokes. The adversary doesn't like these things that are a result of being born again. So what he tries to do is screw us all up. Don't let him. I want to share Acts 26, please go there. This was the purpose of the Power for Abundant Living class, the verse that was the purpose, not John 10:10, but Acts 26. On the little green card, it had this verse. Verse 18, it says, to open their eyes. When our eyes are closed, we can't see. To open our eyes and turn them from darkness to light. When something is completely dark, you can't see. When our eyes are closed, we can't see. But he opened the eyes so we could see. And he turned on the light switch so it wouldn't be dark. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You want to talk about more than a conqueror? To have our eyes lit up like a torch so that we can see. So that we can see what's going on. It says in Ephesians, doesn't it, in that prayer, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. God does not want us blind. He wants us to be able to see. Boy. Just tremendous. You want to talk about deliverance. You want to talk about more than conquerors, being able to see in a dark and perverse nation among whom we shine as lights in the world. Tremendous truth. And once we got born again, we became, you know, in our administration, it's called the administration of grace. It's also called the administration of the mystery. Now, I'm glancing over a lot of the teachings that are going to be happening this week, and I do it on purpose to get people ready so they can hear them. Go to chapter 3, verse 3. So don't get nervous, you teachers. Anyway, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now or lately revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise of in Christ by the gospel. Boy, this body of Christ, I'm not going to get really into it today at all, but man, how God constructed the body. He's placed everybody in the body as it's pleased him. And we have such great need for one another. I need your love. I need your help. I need what you're really good at. I need my foot so I can walk. I need my hand so I can touch. I need my eyes so I can see. I need my ears so I can hear. And then there's all kinds of other stuff, joints and muscles and, you know. When I was going to medical school, it was... You didn't know. Well, it's in the past. But, you know, we need each other. There's such a need for the body. And this all came together as a result of getting born again. Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Look at the humbleness of Paul. Less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the untrackable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things. The mystery, that Jews and Gentiles could be fellow heirs and of the same body, that we could be all part of the same body of Christ. That, man, that's just a tremendous, tremendous thing. Look at Colossians. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, please. In verse 27, that famous verse. It's famous for a reason. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everywhere we go, Christ is. Everywhere we go, Christ is, because he's in us. He's in from the top of our head to the tip of our toes. It's Christ behind our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, our heart. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Something. Everywhere we go, Christ is. What was his life like? What was his day like? He probably slept, right? He slept. When he woke up, he probably said, "Hi, God. What can I do for you today? What do we got going? Let's see." And then God would work in him, tell him what to do. He did the will of God perfectly all day long, just walking. You have Christ in you. You have Christ in you. You can live that way. You can live that way. Every day, 24/7, Christ in you. I can live that way. Man, the incredible possibilities for a believer to rise up. Rise up. Oh, men of God, the church for you doth wait. Not only the church, but the world. The world's on fire right now. Everybody hates everybody, but that's nothing new. We need to give them something to see. You tell people, well, we believe in healing, but you never see healing. You know, what kind of counterfeit is that? Step up, step out, go. Why not?
Get up.
Get up. It's 1 Corinthians 2. This is what happened when we got born again, for goodness sake. This is why God gave his only begotten Son. So we could live a life that's more than abundant in every capacity. Physically, spiritually, mentally, every which way. We can think properly. Good Lord, that's incredible. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, the adversary and all his spirits. They didn't know the mystery. They didn't know the mystery. For had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because it's Christ in us. Wherever we go, it's Christ in us. The adversary never knew. And who did God Almighty give this revelation to? Somebody who was responsible for killing Christians. Someone who, it says in Acts somewhere, the definition of Paul was he was as a ravaged beast. He messed people up. He came into your house while you were singing Yesterday's Jesus, and he took your ass to jail with your kids and beat you along the way till you could hardly see straight, or killed you. That's who this mystery was given to. Not the perfect person. Not the religious one. Well, he was pretty religious, I guess. But just think of the endless possibilities for you as a son of God. Had the adversary known it, he never killed the Lord of glory. That's the bottom line. He never would have done it. But as soon as we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart that God had raised from the dead, we were saved, we were born again, we were filled with the power of God, and we had Christ in us. And wherever we go, it's Christ in us. You want to talk about a miracle? Look around the room. And I don't care if they have fancy cars or not. It's a miracle. Acts, it all started here at the day of Pentecost, when for the first time the power of the Holy Spirit was given, where everybody could be born again. God, I get excited about this. I've been thinking about this for 3 weeks. Just how being saved is so big. You know, we want to study, you know, dinosaurs or something, you know, in the Bible. The significance of the columns in the temple. I mean, that's great. You want to do that, that's great. But man, you're born again. That's bigger than a column. Do you understand? We're going to heaven? I don't understand it. I don't. Don't ask me about it. I don't know nothing. I know I'm going. I know there's not going to be a bad day. There's not even going to be a bad moment. There's not going to be one friggin' tear. No sorrow. No pain. Are you kidding? This bag of bones carries a lot of pain. From running through, you know, playing stupid sports, hitting my head through the stands, you know. But there's a day coming. None of that'll happen. My girlfriends all broke my heart. Everyone. Oh, yeah, it's funny for you, Debbie. Look, I got killed. I was horrible with the girls. I had the curse of being everyone's friend. They'd call you and ask you for help with their boyfriends. It was a horrible life. I hated it. It was terrible. There's going to be no more of that. No more girlfriends. No more pressure. Oh, man, I just wanted to get kissed. Just somebody kiss me. But there's a day coming when there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more anything negative. That's about all I know, and that's really all I care to know. You know, if I get a reward along the way, great. Throw me a bone, that's great. I just want to run the gymnasium. That's all I want to do up there. But it all started in Acts 2, verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. I wish that was on audio. I'd love to hear what that really sounded like. Heavy breathing or something. A rushing mighty wind. And it was filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That there is what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. And you know the story. There were all these people there for a festival and they all spoke different languages, but every one of them heard them speak in their own language. It wasn't a known language to the ones that were speaking in tongues, but it was known to them. And it says something, what was it? They heard the wonderful works of God, it says in verse 11. They heard him speak the wonderful works of God in their own language. How about that? Something, huh? I want to look at some of Peter's tremendous preaching. And I think this is going to get hit on later this week also, but you think about where Peter was not 50 days before. He was behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. He denied Jesus Christ 6 times before the cock crowed. You know, God picked some winners. I'll tell you, Paul who killed Christians and Peter who was hiding from everybody because he thought he was going to get a beaten or killed. And here's Peter, verse 17. Look at this. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they will what? Prophesy. Man, oh man. Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Boy, Peter wasn't singing that song 50 days ago. He was hiding. He was shuddering. He was shivering. He was in complete fear. Now he's speaking to these same people who were going to put him in a calaboose. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. They knew of Jesus Christ. They knew of his miracles. They knew of his healing wholeness. Him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands you've crucified him, whom God did what? Raised him from the dead. There's no salvation in believing Jesus Christ died for you. There's no salvation in that. But there's salvation in believing in the resurrection, that Jesus Christ got up from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Boy, oh boy, when we get the vision of the hope of Jesus Christ's imminent return in our heart of hearts, there is tremendous rest to the soul. There is tremendous rest in knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back. There is tremendous rest in knowing that we're going to be gathered and the dead in Christ shall rise and all that. There is tremendous rest in that reality. Look at verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection. Again, the resurrection of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God, what? Raised up, whereof you are witnesses. He raised him from the dead. Look at 38. Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, them, and to their children, and to all that are afar off. Well, where are you from? I'm from Santa Cruz, California. That's where I was born. That was afar off from this place. How about that? All that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall what? Wow. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. You know what? You know who gets born again? People who want to. Don't be discouraged when you speak the word to somebody and they don't listen. I am always shocked. I've been in the word 400 years. I am still today shocked that somebody would not want what we have to offer them. Who would not want power? Who would not want peace? Who would not want love? Who would not want grace? Who would not want forgiveness? Who would not want salvation, eternal life? It's just incredible. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls were born again of God's Spirit that day. About 3,000 souls in that one day got Christ in them, the hope of glory. About 3,000 souls were guaranteed eternity, were guaranteed everlasting life, eternal life. Man, oh man, they were guaranteed heaven, and all hell wouldn't be able to stop them from going. About 3,000 souls. A tremendous, tremendous movement. Many Christians, again, today, believe that the way you get saved is believing Jesus died for your sins. When we read in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have what? Doesn't say anything about sins? Not in either of those verses. It doesn't say anything about sins. It doesn't say anything about that. Tell people that that's not true. You could say it like, well, that's not exactly what it says. Here's what it says, and you could present it like that. Colossians. And we're going to get into some of this tonight. I can hardly wait for the next session. You make a nice light the first day, but light, salvation is not light. That's what makes us more than a conqueror. Getting born again of God's Spirit is what does it for us, man. Which I just think is incredible. Colossians 2, verse 10, it says, once you're born again, and you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. What do you want? You're complete. I want to look nicer. You're complete. My hair is bothering me. Shave it. Well, hey, quit complaining so much. I was with a couple of men from Africa the other day. I think it was they were from Nairobi. And I was telling them what I did for a living and stuff like that. And one was Christian and one was Muslim. And the one Christian fellow said, yeah, in Africa, we need God for everything. We don't have anything. We don't have houses and cars. We have shacks. We don't have supermarkets. We have street markets. He said, you people in America are really spoiled. And I could see why there's such lack of believing in America, he said, because you have everything. We have nothing. We have God. And I was just like, kind of reproved, actually. He's right, you know, in that respect. I mean, everyone here lives in a house, I think. Most of us have cars. Most of us have jobs. But you know, they take care of them. They work hard and they believe their best for God to take care of them. And he says, yes, when we have a local minister come in, we'll have 20 or 30,000 people at a soccer field just to hear the Bible. And I thought, boy, we really have so much more, but we don't believe enough because we have money or we have this or that. But man, when we're born again, we have everything we ever would need. Being complete, we're now heaven bound, and all hell can't stop us from going. Heaven bound, eternal life, no more tears, no more sorrow at the gathering. We're seated at the heavenlies. We have Christ in us, the power of God. We're complete. We can do greater works than Jesus Christ, it says in John 14, 12. This is why salvation makes it available for everyone to manifest a more than conqueror lifestyle. This is what makes us more than conquerors, because we're saved. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these great people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.